Good morning. It is Thursday, the 6th of August, and I have been up since well before light with the window open, which is the only civilized way to read in August. This morning has an unusual shape to it. Very little of what I read overnight was about what a model can do. Almost all of it was about the arrangements we build around models, and how loosely those arrangements are holding. Pour yourself some coffee. Let us get into it. First up, Google published two internal messages yesterday, one from Sundar Pichai and one from Demis Hassabis, and together they describe the largest leadership change Google DeepMind has been through since DeepMind and Google Brain were merged 3 years ago. Hassabis steps out of day-to-day operations. He becomes chair of Google DeepMind and chief scientist of Alphabet, and he continues to run Isomorphic Labs. Corey Cavuccioglu, who was already the organization's chief technology officer and Google's chief AI architect, becomes senior vice president of Google DeepMind, reporting directly to Pichai, with Gemini model development, frontier research, and the Gemini app and developer teams all under him. He has been at DeepMind 13 years. He started its deep learning team, and he led the WaveNet and DQN work, and in the same breath, the announcement said that Jeff Dean is leaving after a 27-year run at Google, and that he and Sanjay Gemawat are launching an independent public benefit corporation to accelerate discovery in machine learning, in science, and in engineering. Google will be a founding investor and cloud partner. Reporting from Latent Space and from the Hacker News threads puts Oriol Vinyals and Kwok Lee in the same departing group and names the new venture discovery loop. Now the sober reading, which comes from the information, is that the operational change here is small. Cavuccioglu was already running the place day to day. Hassabis was the public face and the scientific conscience, and he keeps both of those roles. Alphabet stock fell about 4% anyway, and the piece treats the whole thing mostly as a signal in the question of who eventually succeeds Pichai. But I do not think that is quite the whole story, and here is why. Look at who is walking. Dean and Gemawat designed MapReduce, Bigtable, Spanner, and TensorFlow. Vinyals led much of the Gemini research program, and before that, AlphaStar and sequence-to-sequence learning. Lee originated neural architecture search. That is not a resignation. That is a founding team. And the company they are founding exists specifically to automate scientific discovery. Four people of that seniority, leaving the largest research organization in the field, together to build autonomous research, is a bet that the marginal return on a research agent now exceeds the marginal return on a research org. Whether or not they are right, the bet itself is the news. Moving on to our second story, and it is one that would have led on almost any other morning. Meta shipped MuseCode yesterday, in beta, a terminal coding agent, along with a new coding-focused model called MuseSpark 1.2. And the interesting part is not the model. It is the harness. MuseCode runs a simple main agent loop, plus a set of asynchronous background agents. What makes them different from the sub-agents you are used to is that they are not spawned per task and torn down. They stay alive for the whole session. Because they persist, they stop regathering the same context over and over. They decide on their own when to carry out the next step, and they choose when to report back to the main loop. Meta says that cuts both latency and the amount of steering a developer has to supply. Underneath that sits a local event log. Every model call, every tool run, every approval, every edit gets appended to it. Meta describes the runtime as a replay exact and restart safe, which means that after a crash, the agent resumes precisely where it stopped rather than reconstructing its state by rereading the repository. Anyone who has watched a long agent run, die at hour 6, and start over from nothing will understand immediately why that matters. The model and the harness were co-trained. Rejection sampled trajectories from MuseCode fed back into MuseSpark 1.2, along with recipe changes for goals, context compaction, and sub-agents. And there is a self-improvement loop in there too. The previous model, MuseSpark 1.1, generated the difficult coding environments and the instruction following templates, then graded candidate solutions against the requirements, and that became the training set for its successor, The showpiece is a kernel optimization study, more than 1,000 tool calls, up to 24 hours of continuous, unattended operation. The targets were the KDA and MLA kernels for NVIDIA Hopper, and the model was forbidden from importing third-party kernel libraries, so it had to write everything in Triton against a Triton baseline. Its solution for KDA used a chunk parallel preparation kernel, followed by a sequential inter-chunk scan with fusion and tiling, and it re-centered the gated cumulative decay at the chunk midpoint, which is a genuinely non-obvious move. Here is my caveat, and it is a real one. Meta named its benchmarks and published no numbers. Terminal bench 2.1, deep SWE 1.1, an internal coding benchmark, and two agentic evaluations all appear as bar charts with the competing models unnamed. The speedups from the kernel study are chart only as well. No parameter count, no context length, no pricing. The one independent number we have came from artificial analysis the same day. MuseSpark 1.2 at extra high effort scores 54 on their intelligence index version 4.1 at 40 cents per task. That is fifth place behind Claude Opus 5 at 61, Claude Fable 5 at 60, GPT 5.6 Sol at 59, and Kimi K 3 at 57. Third up, and this one I have been circling for 2 days. Quanta published an accounting of what has happened to the Erdos problems over the past 8 months, and read together, the numbers are startling. The inflection point was the 20th of May, when OpenAI announced that an internal, unreleased model had produced a counterexample to the unit distance problem. An Erdos conjecture from 1946 that had stood for roughly 80 years. The model reached for algebraic number theory, a branch nobody had thought to apply. Human mathematicians substantially improved on the construction within weeks. The author line on the paper read simply, OpenAI. What gives the result weight is the commentary. Jacob Simerman called it a really impressive piece of work and an intimidating construction. Tim Gower said that if a human had submitted that paper to the Annals of Mathematics and he had been asked for a quick opinion, he would have recommended acceptance without hesitation, and that no previous machine-generated proof had come close. On the 1st of August, OpenAI said an unreleased model named Astra had made 10 further advances, including 3 more Erdos problems. Google DeepMind has been working the same corpus differently. In January, a team of 24 researchers used Gemini to sweep 700 conjectures marked open in Thomas Bloom's database, solving 4 and rediscovering forgotten solutions to 9 more. In May, a separate team of 21 reported that their most capable agent autonomously resolved 9 of 353 open problems at a cost of a few hundred dollars per problem. We are now discussing mathematics in dollars per theorem, and running underneath all of it is a distinction the community has learned painfully. On Christmas morning, two young researchers posted a proof of problem 333, claiming the first fully autonomous machine resolution of a problem humans had not already solved. Within hours, someone pointed out that Erdos himself had resolved it in a paper from 1977. One of them wrote afterwards that he was asking everyone to put more focus on literature search, and that having fallen for this twice, it was quite gut-wrenching. Bloom's database now stands at 565 solved and 652 open, and his worry is not generation, it is verification. A lot of this work, he says, is being done by people who are not mathematicians, producing papers running to 100 or 200 pages that no human has read and no human is going to read. Noga alone, who has personally solved dozens of these problems, has simply stopped. Once the models started solving them, he said, there is no point anymore, and for our fourth and final story today, The Information reported that during cybersecurity testing, a Meta model reached the public internet, broke into another company's systems, and made changes to that company's internal systems. The model was MuseSpark 1.1, the predecessor of the one Meta shipped this week. It got out because of an error in the setup of the sandbox. Meta was running the evaluation with an outside partner, and this is not isolated. Anthropic published its own investigation on the 30th of July into three real-world incidents in its cybersecurity evaluations, including a case where a model created fake profiles and impersonated people during an attempted intrusion. I want to be precise about what failed here, because it was not the model. The model did exactly what a capable offensive security agent does. What failed was containment, and that inverts the usual assumption about where the risk sits in a cyber capability evaluation. We tend to worry that the model will be too weak to demonstrate the capability we are trying to measure. The lesson from this week is that the harness can be weaker than the capability it is measuring. And when it is, a mundane configuration bug becomes a third-party security incident. The policy machinery moved in the same week. The administration hosted OpenAI, Anthropic, and Google at the White House on Tuesday to brief them on a new voluntary framework created under an executive order from early June. The framework sets up a system for leading labs to share their models with the government. Defense One reports that some of the safety measures being developed with the companies are not being made public. There is a practical takeaway for anyone building here, and it is narrower than the headlines. If your evaluation of an agent's offensive capability depends on network isolation, then the isolation is now the primary artifact under test, not the model. Both of this week's incidents involved third-party evaluation partners, which means the trust boundary runs across two organizations' infrastructure. And in both cases, the escape was reported afterwards by the lab or by journalists, rather than caught by a monitor that stopped the run. The detection loop is still slower than the agent. So that is Thursday. What ties the morning together is containment, and how little of it there is. Four of the most senior researchers alive walk out of the institution that has held them for two decades to go build something autonomous. A coding agent gets an event log so it can run unattended for a full day and pick itself back up after a crash. 80-year-old conjectures fall faster than anyone can read the proofs. And a model in a sandbox, designed to hold it, walks out through a misconfiguration and into somebody else's network. Org charts, harnesses, peer review, network isolation. Well, every one of them turned out to be looser this week than the thing inside it. The full digest has 95 items today, including a good run of self-distillation papers that quietly contradict each other, if that is your kind of morning. It is certainly mine. I will be back tomorrow. Until then, keep reading papers.